All right, turn with me as we begin tonight. We'll look quickly at some verses in the Bible. I thought it'd be good for us tonight to look at what the Bible says about giving in the Old Testament. We want to compare the Old Testament and New Testament. Obviously, in the New Testament, the giving that the Lord Jesus commended was in many different phases. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He spoke of the widow woman who gave all her living, etc. But tonight we want to look at some things about the Old Testament. And I want to start off with a couple promises in the Bible. First of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 6. Keep this in mind as we go through this. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. You know, you have to have an abundance to lend. Do you know that? You have to have abundance to lend. God said that the people of Israel, they would have such abundance that they would be able to lend to other nations. That's an important truth. Proverbs chapter 3, look at this other promise. If we'll go there. Proverbs chapter 3, we know this. Verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now notice this Old Testament promise. Now, think about that as we think about the Old Testament giving. And God says that they would be filled with plenty. Okay? And then let's look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. Then we're going to go a little bit further. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Now notice these promises of God to the people of Israel concerning their finances as we look at the Old Testament pattern of giving. So we have a few slides here. First of all, it's going to shock you, but did you know that the Old Testament giver, the Old Testament people had three tithes that they were supposed to give? Three tithes, not one, three. So let's look at the three tithes. First of all, we're going to go to Numbers 18. And we'll call this the sacred tithe. And this is the same tithe that Abraham gave to Melchizedek. This is the same tithe that we still are responsible for today for the Lord. Numbers 18. Verse 21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, Malachi chapter 3, it says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. The sacred tithe is given to the Levites, the priests, for the service in the temple and the congregation. This is the sacred tithe. This is for the maintenance of the gospel of the word of God. Now let's look at the tithe of the feast, Deuteronomy chapter 14. Now if you know Deuteronomy 16, every male in Israel was supposed to go to Jerusalem three times a year, to the Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Passover, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And many of them took their families with them as a week-long feast. And if you know anything about traveling, it was expensive. And so the Lord told the people, you take another tithe and you set that aside so you can go to Jerusalem and you can have be a part of the religious celebration at Jerusalem. So Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. It says, thou shalt tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat that, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herd and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so thou art not able to carry it, or the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set a snare, then the Lord hath blessed thee. Then thou shalt turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. And so here's the provision for their family to go to Jerusalem. They're supposed to take a tithe and set that aside so every year they can worship the Lord. That's called the tithe of the feast. And then Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28, we have the tithe for the poor. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no partner inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gate, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. Now, there's some controversy about this third part, but it is the third tithe. One tithe for the sacred tithe, the second tithe, the tithe of the feast, and the third tithe, the tithe for the poor. Now we're already up to 30%. Already up to 30%. Okay? Now, let's go to Exodus chapter 34. Now, the firstborn belong to the Lord. The firstborn belong to the Lord. Verse 19. All that openeth the matrix is mine. Every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou redeem him not, then thou shalt break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. All right, so they are to redeem them. They are to buy them, pay for them, and give the money to the Lord because the firstborn belongs to the Lord. All right, let's go to the shekel for the sanctuary, Exodus 30. How are we doing on this slide? Okay, there we go. Exodus 30. Verses 13 through 16. They shall give everyone that passeth among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they make an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Then we have Numbers chapter 29. Let's go to some other offerings there are in the Old Testament. Numbers 29 and verse 39. It says, these things ye shall do unto the Lord in your set feasts, beside your vows. Oh, what's a vow? Lord, if you do this, you know, that rebate that I'm going to get from Sears, you can have it. That's a vow, right? And, of course, like Hannah had a vow. She said, Lord, if you'll give me a male child, I'll give him to you. Every vow, a vow. And so there's the offering of a vow or dedicated things. Notice it says, your free will offerings. Free will. Well, when the temple needed to be repaired, they put a box there, didn't they? And they put a box there and people gave freely to repair the temple. It was a free will offering. We have free will offerings. They had free will offerings in the Old Testament. And there was a special thing for them to give. And then it says, your free will offerings for your burnt offerings and for your meat offerings and for your drink offerings and for your peace offerings. Now, look at about all the other offerings. Remember, when you came to worship the Lord, there was a sin offering, wasn't there? There was a trespass offering. If you sinned, there's a sin offering. And you came to come to the Lord, there was a burnt offering. And it was wholly given to the Lord. And so we have, you know, start adding all these up. You know, I remember thinking, as you know, many people have probably expressed it. You know, I wondered if I would have anything left in my flock after all the sin offerings I would need to give, you know. But you think about, now, the offerings in the Old Testament. We have the tithes, there's 30%. Then you have the, of course, we didn't put the sheaf of the first fruits. We have then the firstborn. We have the vow offerings or the dedicated offerings, voluntary offerings. We have the ritual offerings. But then put on top of this, God said, if you obey my laws, your barns would burst out. Amen. What did he say? He said, you'll not need to borrow, but you'll lend. Now, if you remember what it said in Proverbs, when it introduced this whole principle of giving, there's a verse that we skipped, but I think it would be good right now to turn back to it. Proverbs chapter 3, when it says, honor the Lord with thy substance, notice verse 7. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. There's the context. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. You know, a secularist cannot figure this out. A carnal Christian cannot figure this out. A person who tries to be an intellect and tries to figure this out. This is not about figuring out. This is about God. That's what it's about. It's about God. And, of course, what's it about? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You know, that's what it's about. And as the people of God loved God, God took care of them. And you know, I could imagine, if you think about it, it could easily be 50% of their income they had to use in spiritual realm. I mean, that'd be almost obvious if you look at all of this. And yet, God says, you'll have so much that you won't even need to borrow. You can lend. And so we have the principle of the blessing of God. And of course, it doesn't only take place in money, but in the Old Testament, it was a definite promise of financial and material blessing on the nation of Israel, but there's a tremendous principle here. Tremendous principle. And we could go to the New Testament, and we'll go there next week a little bit, where Jesus said, and Jesus said this, "He that is faithful in that which is the least shall be faithful in that which is much." In the context, the least. Now, it's pretty big to us because in America, the God of America is what? Money. But he says, if you're faithful in that which is least, and that's talking about money, then God will entrust you with the true riches of spiritual things and spiritual blessing in your life. So these are some simple principles that I think it's just good to take a look at the Old Testament and see this, because sometimes we make the mistake that that we're just trying to do a little bit better than the Old Testament. You know what I'm saying? We're in the New Testament, so we just try to do a little bit better than the New Testament. Well, I think if you look at the Old Testament, most Christians wouldn't even come close to that. You see the picture I'm trying to paint here? And we need to get that into our thinking here so we overcome the obstacles that many of us have in our false view of really what God could do through us in our lives and our giving. Okay, trust that will be a challenge to you and a help to you in your thinking. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your word, and we thank you for these great truths from the word of God. And we ask that, Lord, even this study would cause us to have a new perspective, a biblical perspective on this very important issue. And that, Lord, that would challenge us to realize that as New Testament believers, that everything we have comes from you and really, in one sense, belongs to you. And may we live a life in which we love you with all our hearts. And may we show the proof of that love even as we use what the Bible calls unrighteous mammon for the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name.